Damimo.
What?
Damimo.
Damimo. I heard Domino and I was like, who?
Yeah.
We're tackling Domino's Pizza today.
Today, Gordon visits local chain in New Jersey, Domino's.
Small business Domino's.
You know, they were failing for a minute, so.
Yeah, so is everybody.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Ramsey's Recaps. I can't roll my R's. I don't know why I said
Ramsey's Recaps.
I'm your host, Courtney, and as always, I'm joined by...
your other host, Alana, which is me. Hello. Tis I.
Welcome back.
Oh my god, thank you.
Tis I, the host of this podcast.
It's a pleasure to be back, as I am always at this time.
It's a pleasure to be back in my own podcast.
Thank you for welcoming me back with open arms, as per fucking usual.
I'm using you for your fame.
That's fine. You admitting that hinges on the circumstance that I have fame, and that's nice to pretend. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can use me for my whatever I have to offer.
For my body.
This week, Gordon is in New Jersey still. He hasn't left. He's been in New Jersey every week except the first one when he was in New York. So, you know.
Classic.
He's really traveling far.
Also, once again, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, Ramsey's Recaps, Courtney, give us the elevator pitch of what we even do here.
What do we even do here? At Ramsey's Recaps, we cover the Gordon Ramsay cinematic universe, which is everything that Gordon Ramsay has ever done, including Kitchen Nightmares. We last left off previously before the new season dropped with season 3 of Kitchen Nightmares, and we will return to it eventually. This season, we're covering the new season because the bitch is back.
And this is season 1, episode 4 of the reboot, right? Is that where we're at?
Yes. Season 1, episode 4, Damimo. I don't know what it means.
Yeah,
I don't speak Italian.
They sort of explained it, but not in a way that I was really paying attention to. It has something to do with a dead uncle, right?
Oh, that's right. The reason they... well, that was the reason they opened the restaurant. I don't know if that's the reason they named it Damimo. Unless that means uncle or something.
Well...
should I Google what Damimo means?
I was just going to say you can start getting into the synopsis while I Google what Damimo means.
Perfect. So Damimo is an Italian restaurant located in Dumont, New Jersey. It's about an hour outside of Hoboken. I did look up where it is. It's an hour and a half away from me.
Go.
Not impossible to get to.
You should
but
go.
I don't really feel like getting on a bus in the middle of New Jersey.
Was it Damimo or Damimo? Like D-E or D-A?
Damimo.
Damimo, okay.
I think it was D-A.
Excellent.
So Damimo is owned by Melissa and her three sons, Antonio, Vincent, and Vito Jr. Vito Sr., her husband, also technically owns the restaurant, but he works as a police detective, so he is not there, like, helping out.
That's pretty metal, I gotta say.
This is just the most... New Jersey Italian family that I've ever seen in my life.
I was just about to make a like, Danganronpa reference, but I don't know if you want the fact that we do that here on public record.
You know, I think it's okay.
I personally would never like go on Main and be like, I play Danganronpa, let's talk about it.
Oh my god. We don't play it. I guess we do play it by choice, but it wasn't our idea. I'll say that.
It wasn't our idea. If Danganronpa is a stupid game that has brought our stupid friends closer together, unfortunately, it is like a dumb detective murder mystery game for children about killing high school where children are forced to kill each other. And it's bloody and weird and fucked up. However... it has made us better friends. So therefore, I love it. But yeah, it's I don't know. You can cut this. I forget why it was even relevant now that I'm thinking about it.
You were going to make an Italian reference.
I was going to make a detective reference, not an Italian reference.
Oh. I'm cutting all of this out. Picking back up.
Where would the Italian reference be?
Because I made Sonia Italian.
You said police detective, and I thought about all of the characters we've ever had that have been detectives.
Put in Suichi at an Italian restaurant.
Anyway, I'm done. Thank you.
This is the stupidest conversation we've ever had. And we've known each other for a long time. So Melissa and her three sons run the restaurant, but technically it's Melissa and her eldest son who are running the restaurant, Antonio. He is a pizza man. He used to work in construction, which is also just so New Jersey Italian, I feel like. And now he is the kitchen manager slash pizza man slash whatever the fuck else his mom needs help with in the restaurant. The other two sons, Vito Jr. and Vincent, don't really help out with the restaurant. They are social media stars, quote unquote, and they don't want to work in the restaurant. They just want to go on TikTok and go to the mall. And they do have a significant number of followers, and Alana will take it away from here because she for sure went and did a deep dive.
The deep dive started when Gordon sat the two of them down to grill them a little bit and be like, why the fuck are you not helping? And he like pulled off one of their watches. They are the same to me, Vito and Vincent. They are carbon copies. They reminded me of like Italian Logan Paul, Jake Paul. That's what I kept thinking, like, you were like the Paul brothers. You have the same amount of brain cells.
I called them, in my notes, I called them V and V. I just didn't even get
V and V.
Same person.
Because they, like, pulled off a watch, and Gordon was like, how much does this watch cost? And he was like, I don't know, $35,000. And I was like, oh, okay, so we got, like, influencer money. We got, like, money. So I went straight to TikTok, right? I could only find one of them. I could only find Vincent to start. And he does have about, he has 2.5 million followers on TikTok. And I was like, okay, that's not nothing. But as someone that also is on TikTok, I know that like they've only just recently updated their monetization policy. So like only in the last couple of months have you actually been able to make substantial money off of TikTok. And to my understanding, to my research, neither one of them have any presence outside of TikTok. They don't have YouTube. They barely have Instagram. It is just TikTok. And TikTok at this moment in time that they probably filmed this only gets, TikTok stars only really get money through brand deals. And so I went through Vincent's, not a single brand deal, not a goddamn one. The man's never done one, or if he has, he's deleted them. So going off the assumption that he's never made a brand deal, I can only assume that this guy has made maximum $1,000 off of 3 years of being on TikTok. So that's either it's a fucking lie, or here's the other component, both of them. So Vito's account was hard to find, but he does have an account technically that has 1 million followers. But it is a joint account with him and his girlfriend. So they are a TikTok famous couple. They are not famous on their own. They are famous because they were a couple. And both of them are in famous couples. Like, both twins. Vincent's account is his own name, but it's basically a joint account with his girlfriend. And both couples do, like, prank videos. And that's why they're famous.
Oh.
They're not famous for doing, like, anything at all. They just like prank each other, and it's mostly like the girlfriends pranking them, sort of. It's not sustainable. So the way, they're not conceivably actually making any money off of this. Vito's account is literally, it's called like Vito and Sophia or whatever the name of his girlfriend is. They are like joint. So unless it's actually the girlfriend's making money and they're buying them for them, the two of them are making jack shit money off of this. It's all a ruse. It's a ruse. So they're just fucking lazy. They're not actually like earning their own money. They aren't even, they're also barely making TikToks. They've barely made any in the year 2023. Most of their content is from like 2021. They're not really doing anything at the time of filming. They're just fucking around.
Yeah, I briefly looked for their Instagrams, and they each have, like, a few hundred thousand Instagram followers, but also their Instagrams were fucking boring. Like, there was nothing on them. Like, Gordon comes in here saying he wants these, like, social media stars to help their mom out and do, like, social media for them, which is fair, because, like, 2.5 million is not a small number to have.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, and you're 17 years old, and you're just a dumb kid... Like,
yeah, Gordon kept saying, like, use your creativity to make the restaurant social media pop, but they're not doing, like, that's not the kind of content they make. They actually can't make content on their own without their girlfriends. So yeah, I was scouring, like, there was talk in the episode, which I know we'll touch on later, about the two of them actually, like, making a TikTok for the restaurant that made a lot of business. That TikTok is not anywhere. The last time that the restaurant's TikTok account posted was in April. And it is not about this. It's not a promotional thing. It's just I think they were just saying, like, there was a live musician. It was active footage of the live musician being at the restaurant at the time. So it's not any promotional thing that these... Are they twins?
No. There's... It doesn't matter.
But whatever creative thing that these brothers made for the restaurant is not on social media currently. It's not on the restaurant's Instagram. It's not there.
I think I wrote in my notes, and we'll get to it, but I was like, people aren't showing up to relaunch night because of a TikTok. They're showing up because Gordon fucking Ramsay is there.
Yeah.
Like, the TikTok didn't do shit.
The two of them are clear examples of, like, they happened to jump on TikTok in February of 2020. And so a lot of people followed them for basically doing nothing because a lot of people rose to skyrocketing fame around that time. And the creators that had actual brands and did actual things have careers now. But there are, you know, thousands of other TikTok creators that just danced and fucked around and their star faded. And that's what happened here. And clearly the producers shifted that a little bit. I mean, at least Vincent, his stuff still gets like millions of views, but he's not doing anything in them. He's not doing anything. It's him and his girlfriend being like, we're cutting up tomatoes today.
Sick.
But I can assure you that they are not making any money off of it.
Yeah, neither is the restaurant. It's only been open 6 months and they're already $500,000 in the hole. And Melissa admits at the top of the episode that she has never known or worked how to or done anything in a restaurant. She was a police detective, like her husband, but they wanted to open a restaurant because their uncle was a chef or something. And Antonio is like, I really want to be a chef. He is the most soft-spoken of these this Italian family. He just literally sits there the whole time and is like, yeah, I'm just like trying my best, you know. The most New Jersey family in the world owns an Italian restaurant. Welcome to DeMimo. Did you figure out what it means?
Yeah, I typed it into Google Translate and it means from Mimo.
Ah,
so so it might mean nothing.
If it means something, put it in the comments below of wherever you're hearing this.
The comments of Spotify.
There is a Q&A feature on Spotify. I don't know why.
So ask the question, which is, this is the definition of DeMimo.
Our question to you is, what does DeMimo mean? So you can answer that for us in the form. It's like Jeopardy. You have to answer it in the form of a question.
Amazing.
Gordon arrives and he calls Melissa on the phone and she's super chill about it. I'm sure they were like, Gordon's gonna call you, don't freak out. And because, like, if Gordon called me on the fucking phone, I'd be like, oh my god, it's Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, and she seemed like the only one to me that wasn't, like, super nervous. Every other staff member seemed nervous, and I will touch on that as we get to it. But, like, kudos to her for being somewhat chill.
Yes, I forgot to mention, we have the head chef, Francesca, who went to culinary school in Sicily and has 21 years of experience. And she says that she has opened many restaurants in New Jersey before. And her hands are kind of tied at this place. We'll see later on why, but it's not her fault, but she's also not helping in any way.
I had a roller coaster of emotions about Francesca. I had some twists and turns about how I felt about her. At first, I was like, she's a saint doing God's work in a bad situation, to you're the worst, back to you're the best. I was all over the place with her. She's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we also, another character we'll meet in a minute, is the waiter Giuseppe, who is from Italy.
What a bouncy little man.
He's like John Leguizamo in Moulin Rouge. He's just like bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, he was like twirling in when I saw him, my first thought was actually like, this is a man who's nervous and doesn't know what to do about it. You know, when people are nervous and they just like do weird shit. I know when I'm nervous, yeah. if I am nervous in a public place, my sister calls it crowd work. Like, I start doing crowd work. I start engaging the people around me. I start...
Me too! Me too!
I am always, like, the life of the party in a doctor waiting room.
Oh my god. You know, you could just say nothing. You could just be silent.
You're right, I could do that. When I was hiking the Grand Canyon and I was coming up and I was so sure I was gonna die and I was getting nervous, every single fucking party that walked by us, I spoke to.
You're like, this is my last chance to talk to new people.
Yes. So when I personally get anxious, I quantity over quality. I am just lobbing out jokes. I crowd work. So I would believe if Giuseppe just danced when he was nervous. He was Gordon Ramsay. There were cameras. I'm sure these people never see cameras other than the weirdo twins. But like, you know, that was the vibe I got.
Yeah, he was certainly fun. He definitely was using his hands a lot to talk, which is just very fun to see.
I forget what the first...
He was like, I'm a Giuseppe, I'm from Italy.
I forgot what the first thing he said, but there was definitely a, like, I'm the dead! Like, there was a Mario, like, it's a me Mario to it.
Yeah, he had a... Again, I don't want to stereotype, but it's hard when they're just doing them.
It's hard when they are the stereotype. Giuseppe was, though.
Everything about this place and this family and this cast of characters is so Italian New Jersey stereotype, and I love it. I think it's so fun. I think they're hilarious.
I do think that at one point Giuseppe was like, you do not like the meatballs, like he like said it.
Yeah, he like said it like Mario. Gordon has Melissa come out to the SUV and they chat for a minute and Melissa cries, and then they go back inside and Gordon sits down to eat, which is when he meets Giuseppe, my favorite little guy. He looks at the restaurant and he's like, this is the ugliest wall I've ever seen. And it's a wall painted gray with like big graffiti lettering in Italian, but also with just the names of Melissa and her sons on the wall.
Yeah, the wall was ugly.
So it just said like Ciao Bella in like big ugly graffiti. And then like Melissa above that. It was ugly.
Yeah, Melissa was like, my sons wanted to make it a little more social media friendly, which did not work, clearly.
Yeah, that's not like a photo op wall.
It's really not.
Like a photo op wall. You gotta do one of those stupid, like, angel wing shits.
Yeah, or you do the...
plant wall.
Exactly, you do the plant wall, or you do the fake grass with the light-up sign. That's what you do.
What they did at the end with the cutting board wall was pretty cool, though.
I did think that was cool, yeah. I agree.
Giuseppe takes Gordon's order. Gordon orders a minestrone soup. He orders a pizza. I don't remember what kind of pizza. I'm pretty sure it was just like a margarita or something.
Yeah, just a mozzarella basil thing.
He gets calamari al guazzetto. And then he gets meatballs in a bread bowl. And the conversation that he and Giuseppe have about balls in a bowl is brief, but it's a lot.
Yeah, Giuseppe just didn't need to.
Giuseppe was like, hey, you should get your meatballs in a bread bowl. That's like our signature thing is the bread bowl. And Gordon was like, why? Why is that your signature thing?
Don't you want the balls in the bowl?
He's like, I can put your balls in a bowl. And Gordon was like, okay.
Courtney, I'm going to need you to say the line right. Not just put balls in a bowl. It's put a balls in the bowl.
He put the balls in the bowl.
Thank you. The least we can give our listeners is the proper authentic pronunciation.
The proper Italian accent.
And that I'm sure balls in the bowl.
Won't get shit on. It's a me, a Mario. So, the food, this is one of those classic cases of a restaurant where everything's too fucking slow. Gordon is sitting there for 30 minutes and he has not received a single piece of food. Because the pizza kitchen and Francesca are in two different locations. They're separated by a door because the pizza kitchen is like in the restaurant itself. So you can like sit at the counter and watch them make the pizzas. So they're trying to time out getting the pizza and the minestrone soup at the same time to Gordon for some reason. But Francesca is making it from scratch and is not, like, properly communicating. It was weird. I didn't understand what was going on.
So...
And why it was so hard.
I also had some questions. And I think my assumption, they did not give us any, like, reason for me to think this way. But, like, at least at the restaurant that I work at, yes, the soup is fresh, but they make, like, a huge batch of it at the top of the shift.
Mm.
So that when people... And then they keep it under, like, a hot thing. And they either it runs out or they replace it after it's been sitting for a certain amount of time. So it's like not fresh, but it is fresh because they made it that day. To make it just from scratch suddenly is like a huge time suck. Like that's why like it ended up coming out and Gordon was like, this minestrone is great because it was like so freshly made. But like soup doesn't come together quickly. It takes a minute to make. So if she had it properly prepped, that would have taken 4 seconds, you know, would have taken just a splotch, and then he could have been eating the soup. They could have been fired at the same time. They could have made the pizza immediately, and then they could have served it. But also, yeah, the fact that those two like things are coming, they're from different locations. You need either they need to be in the same room, basically. But like, I also feel like that could have been solved with just like a better point of service system.
Oh yeah,
to just have it computerized, which it seems like it was just paper printing. That what like a standard just like printer printing receipt tickets is not gonna do that unless they have food runners or someone that is willing to go back and forth and communicate. I don't think it's fair to assume that Francesca has to do that because if she's the head chef, she shouldn't have to leave the line to do that.
No,
it's got to be just like someone else's job. I think the problem with this whole place was that it was like because the owners didn't know who needs to be working in a restaurant. Like, they don't know anything about restaurants, so they don't know the roles. So I think Francesca was poorly equipped and probably didn't have time, really, to step out from behind the line, and they didn't have enough people to do it. They clearly don't have food runners or anything. So it was poor design. I don't think it was anybody's fault, per se, other than maybe Melissa, but Melissa doesn't know anything about restaurants, you know? So, like, she shouldn't have started a restaurant, but she did one, so what, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, my guess is that A, if Antonio was actually a kitchen manager, he would be the one expediting on the line and being the one going back and forth, but he's also the one making the pizzas, so
yeah,
it's hard to do both. And then my other thing, I think because this restaurant had literally Gordon walks in and he's like, there's like not even a dozen people in here, my guess is that Melissa told Francesca, don't make too much soup because we're just gonna have to throw it away at the end of the day because nobody's gonna order it.
That makes sense. So she probably
did have to just make the soup from scratch because nobody fucking has ordered minestrone soup all day.
Yeah,
so
I would believe that as well. Yeah, that makes sense to me also.
So 30 minutes later, Gordon gets the minestrone soup, which he does like because it's from scratch. He also gets the pizza, but he hates it because the mozzarella tastes synthetic because it's like store-bought mozzarella. And then the pizza itself is soggy on the bottom. And he's like, it's got a soggy bottom.
Soggy bottom.
And then he gets
it's the calamari. It's got a soggy bottom.
Okay. I was doing the British Baking Show thing, but yes.
We can be doing two things.
It's true. He gets the calamari. He says it tastes rubbery and frozen, and the tomatoes are just raw tomatoes. They're not even cooked.
The calamari
looked like onion rings. Like, it looked like bad calamari.
So I was so ready to actually come to the defense of the calamari because we had just seen Francesca make the minestrone from scratch, and it was good. So I was like, oh my god, Francesca must know what she's about. And so I was all ready to fight for her to be like, calamari tastes like whatever you put on it, because it's like it's hard to cook with. That's why it's always fried, because it on its own really does not taste like much, even if you cook it correctly. You can taste when it has like spoiled or gone bad or has freezer burned, but other than that, it's just it tastes like whatever is on it. So I was ready for him to be like, it tastes like nothing. And when he did actually say it was bland, and at first I was gonna be like, fuck you, man, it's calamari, what do you want it to be? But then when the tomatoes were raw and like it had no seasoning on it, I was like, damn it, Francesca, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Well, Gordon asks if the calamari is frozen, and Giuseppe is like, yeah, it is. So that's part of the problem in Gordon's eyes.
The raw tomatoes, though, is that's Francesca.
That was Francesca. Then he gets the meatballs in the bread bowl. The bread bowl itself is burnt, which Francesca comments on. And then the meatballs are cold and they don't taste good. And Gordon has Giuseppe like stick his finger in it and like feel that it's cold. And then Gordon learns that the meatballs are also frozen. And so Francesca says that she doesn't want to use frozen food. She wants to buy fresh ingredients. She wants to have control of the menu. But it's Melissa and Antonio who are like taking control over the menu. So Gordon calls a little staff meeting. I called her Fran in my notes because her name is too long. Fran doesn't like the food either. Antonio is the one buying the ingredients and making the pizza and managing the kitchen. And his mom makes him buy the frozen stuff because it's cheaper. Or because she says it's cheaper because they can't afford fresh ingredients. And Gordon's like, bullshit. He also called it a nightmare, and I was like, haha, he said the name of the thing.
He said this kitchen is a nightmare. It's also important to note that Antonio is 22 years old. Like, it'd be one thing if he was, like, 40, but the boy is a boy. He's a tiny baby. He's a tiny little baby.
Yeah, he's, like, he's never even gone to school for any of this. Like, he's just trying. I'm pretty sure, like, he learned how to make pizzas from YouTube. Like, that's what he did.
Yeah, the whole beginning bit was the whole, like, it's a mom, it's a, you know, a single mom who works two jobs, even though she's not single, but, like, she was doing all of this, dad couldn't help, two of the brothers couldn't help because they're stupid, and poor Antonio was like, okay, well, mom's gonna lose it if nobody helps her, so I guess I'll drop everything, and I'll help, and then mom was like, great, you're gonna help by doing actually everything, you're gonna do every job, you're gonna be cook and also manager and also kitchen manager and also inventory and also like maybe even payroll, I don't know. Poor boy, the poor guy didn't have a fucking chance, and he was taking it like a goddamn champ. He had like a smile on his face, he was doing his best.
Yeah, and he says like, I want to be like a good chef, I want to be a good restaurant owner. Like, he clearly wants to do this, like, more than his other brothers, at least. Also, I don't think they mentioned this until the very end, she has like three younger sons at home too. Like, the woman has like babies. Six children.
Yeah.
So on top of everything else, she also has to still take care of like two or three like literal children besides her dumbass teenage sons. Like,
yeah, and like, I imagine a husband who's a police detective, I imagine the hours for that are not like a traditional 9 to 5. Yeah, I'm sure. No, he's not around to help run a household, so that also sucks. That's a lot.
Gordon meets with Melissa and Antonio alone and talks to them about basically just all the same stuff again, and learns that Vito and Vincent basically just like don't care and don't want to help, and Gordon's like, tell them to come here tonight, I want to talk to them. So Gordon's not here to fuck around.
Good.
So we get to the first dinner service. Vinny and Vinny are coming. Vinny and Vito are coming. Whatever their names are.
Vinny and Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny squared are coming. Gordon walks into the kitchen, and it's just so smoky in there. Like, they didn't turn on the vent or something. Or, like, open a window. Like, what are we doing? It was so smoky in there. He said it looked like Snoop Dogg's house. Which, like, Gordon, have you been to Snoop Dogg's house?
He probably has.
Are you lighting up with Snoop?
If I had to guess, he probably has been to, probably not to light up necessarily, maybe, I don't know, but I'm sure he's been to. I imagine Gordon Ramsay and Martha Stewart, like, cross paths, you know?
Their restaurants are next to each other in one of the Vegas hotels that I walked through.
Exactly, and Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg are, like, joined at the hip for whatever weird reason.
They're BFFs.
Yeah, so I imagine Snoop Dogg and Gordon Ramsay, I'm sure they've interacted before.
Dream blunt rotation.
Actually, I mean, kinda.
I would die. I could die happy after smoking a joint with Gordon Ramsay and Snoop Dogg, and probably Martha Stewart. She's probably there too.
Did you know today's National Pasta Day? I know, because Domino's, of all places, just sent me a push notification on my phone saying buy a pizza to celebrate National Pasta Day.
I'm so glad Gordon could help that small restaurant now.
Right.
Just so they could have National Pasta Day. So first dinner service is going whatever. Vito and Vinny arrive, and they immediately, both of them are wearing the same outfit. Like,
they really are.
Gold chain, peach colored shirt, khaki cargo shorts, diamond earrings. Like, they just look the same.
fucking hell.
Fucking the Guido twins over here. Like,
yeah, for real though.
And they go up to the pizza counter and they're like, hey, give me like an espresso and a pizza because we haven't eaten all day. Because their mom called Vincent and was like, hey, Gordon wants to meet you. And they're like, I don't know, we were thinking of going to the mall. And she was like, no, you're going to come meet Gordon Ramsay.
It was the fucking funniest conversation. It was so precisely what I needed to hear at that moment, was the mom being like, can you shut, like, no, go to the mall another fucking time. You can come here now. Go to the mall later. Yeah. It was the best. Like,
Gordon Ramsay is here. Why wouldn't you want to be here? So they try to order food, but Gordon immediately looks at the waiter putting in the food and was like, who's that for? And the waiter was like, them. And he was like, no, don't do that. Gordon goes up to them and starts talking to them. And he like looks at, this is when he looks at Vincent's watch and he's like, oh yeah, it's my $35,000 watch. Gordon turns on his dad voice and is like full like father mode in this moment and is like, listen to me here, you little fuckers.
It's
You're
so
pissing
good.
Me off. You're pissing me off. Your mom is here literally struggling and dying every day to keep you alive. And you're going to walk around and flaunt your shit. And you're not going to help her when you have 2 million whatever followers. Which they never say that. At first they don't say that it's on TikTok. I thought he had 2 million Instagram followers. Which to me is much more significant than TikTok.
It's true. It's a lot. It's, I mean, at 2.5 million followers on TikTok is not, you know, nothing. But it is much easier to get a million follower. It's, I think the breakdown is like one Instagram follower or 10 Instagram followers is like the equivalent of like 1,000 TikTok followers. It's just easier. There are more people on TikTok and it's just easier to find more people quicker. This is, sorry, much longer than you needed. But yeah, the TikTok inflation is real. A million Instagram followers is a way bigger deal than a million TikTok followers.
Yeah, because when they were saying he has 2.5 million followers, I was like, shit, if he has that many on Instagram or even Twitter, because at the time it was still Twitter, like, that's a good enough amount to, like, reach out, like, locally and have shit happen. But if it's TikTok, yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, I'm sorry.
It's harder.
TikTok is too new still. Yeah, TikTok is not where people go for, like, small town restaurant recommendations. Like, I get the restaurant recommendations because I live in New York City, and even a lot of those I'm like, who cares, there's too many restaurants.
It would work if they went on, if specifically Vincent went on his own and said like, hey fuckers, my ma's got a restaurant, go to it, I'm gonna be there. Like, if he hosted like a meet and greet there, that would actually get people there.
But I also, at the same time, they are just a couple of stupid-ass teenagers. They're not supposed to be having, like, media empires at this age, like, in my opinion.
Well, they also don't. Because if you think about it in the context of, like, the D'Amelios, if you're thinking about, like, Charlie D'Amelio, if this was an actual empire that they were actually capitalizing on, they would have teams, they would have a manager, they would have, a publicist, and the publicist would be all the fuck over that, you know? That would be an incredible opportunity for Vincent to look like not a fucker, to like have an actual venture, you know, especially since it said in all of the like title things that like Vincent R Squared, like they were owners too. Like I said, Melissa was an owner, Antonio was an owner, these little fuckers are owners, so they're technically an owner. If it made money, technically they make money too.
Mm-hmm.
So if they actually had careers, this episode wouldn't even need to happen. So they're just fucking around.
Yeah, I think that's my point, is like they're just fucking around on TikTok. They're not like trying to establish brands on YouTube and Instagram and everything. They don't know how to do any of that. They just had that burst of TikTok fame and now they're trying to ride it out as long as fucking possible.
Yes.
Gordon talks to them and is like, did you know that your mom and dad are $500,000 in debt? And they're like, no. And then they still try to play it off and be like, it's not that bad. It's not that. And Gordon's like, shut the fuck up. It is that bad. And you two need to start fucking helping, or you're never allowed in this restaurant again, basically.
Yeah.
Which is pretty baller. So
yeah.
Then we get a return of everyone's favorite. It's Fridge Time. I want like a musical sting for Fridge Time. Like, Fridge Time.
I might be able to talk to somebody to make that happen.
That's because, like, it's my favorite part is when Gordon goes elbow deep in some slimy chicken.
Yeah, we need a soundboard is actually what we need.
I'm actually, side note, peek behind the curtains. I'm actually thinking of getting a MIDI board at some point to make a soundboard. Amazing. A thing that I tried to do 3 years ago but never actually executed. So maybe I'll finally fucking do it this year.
Excellent.
So, Fridge Time. Gordon goes into the kitchen and he says, let me see your racks of meat. And he opens those fridges and the first thing he finds, rotten vegetables everywhere. Rotting oranges, rotting cucumbers, a bucket, like a literal bucket of dead, open, floating mussels. And they say this a lot. Mussels, when they're floating, are dead and therefore rotten and you can't eat them because you'll die.
It's true.
You also said that there was a lady in, like, one of the opening clips that was like, this plate of clams is bad. And then she handed him a plate of mussels.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was a dude. It was, like, in the first, it was a guy who was like, yeah, these clams taste weird. And then handed Melissa a bowl of what was clearly, like, linguine mussels. And then she walked it all the way back to the kitchen, holding her thing of clearly mussels, and was talking to, I don't, maybe Antonio, and was like, these clams are bad. And I was like, those are mussels! They're mussels! Clams are small! And not black!
Yeah. You should know the difference when you're in an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, like, I know it doesn't really matter, especially if, like, it matters if they also serve clams. That's when it's bad.
Yeah. Because, you know, if it was on the menu as clams, like a clam linguine, and then he got a mussel linguine, then yeah, of course the clams taste fucking weird. They're not clams.
Yeah, I mean, taste-wise, they're probably not so different, but it matters to me. It matters to me. Because I like to be right about stuff.
Gordon then finds everyone's favorite, a bag of slimy chicken, which he, of course, dumps out and makes everyone smell it. And then he, like, touches it, and he's like, it's slimy.
It's slimy!
He's like, did you serve this? And the entire time, Gordon keeps asking Francesca, like, when was this last cleaned? When was this last cleaned? Her response is, we clean it every day. We clean it every day. And Gordon is like, these cucumbers have been rotting in here for 2 weeks. You do not clean this every day. Like,
this was when I was suddenly off the Francesca train. Same. Because, like, come on. Come on, man. That's unexcusable.
Like, I get it. You're burnt out. You hate working here. They're not listening to you. Why should you care? At the same time, you should care because at least the people you're feeding, you don't want to get them sick. Like, at the end of the day, you're still serving people food, and people shouldn't have to eat rotten food and then throw up their clams later.
Yeah, and if you're going to bitch to the camera about how you only get frozen food and you don't get to use fresh food, and then we see all of this fresh food that honestly should have been frozen so it didn't go bad, what are you talking about? You look like a fool now. Like, you had it. You had fresh food that you are choosing not to use or forgot that you had, and now you're part of the problem. It's you now. It's not just Melissa.
Yeah. Like, you're the head chef. And yes, Antonio should also be checking on this as the kitchen manager, but we've established that the boy is a boy, and the boy is busy and tired. So I'm not gonna blame him.
Yeah, it is bananas to assume that the head chef, who's been working in restaurants for 30 years and has gone to culinary school, should hold less responsibility than the 22-year-old who just, like, doesn't even know how he got here. I don't care about titles at that point. Francesca should fucking know. She should think about the chef that taught her in culinary school. Like, why'd you go to that? Why does it matter? You know? It's really unexcusable. It's really, I can't allow it, frankly.
It's so upsetting.
It's so upsetting.
So then we get the restaurant shut down, which this is the four out of four. We're four for four on restaurant shutdowns this season.
Don't they always shut it down, though? Don't they just always do that?
No. Not in the original Kitchen Nightmares. Every now and then they would just finish out dinner service and then have a meeting afterwards. I would say in the beginning, Gordon didn't shut it down, like, at all, actually. Like, the first season, I don't think he shut down more than maybe two restaurants.
Oh.
And the reason he would only shut them down before was because the kitchens were disgusting. Now he seems to shut them down even if the kitchen is, like, falling apart. In the older seasons, he wouldn't shut... If the kitchen was just merely falling apart, he wouldn't shut it down because he would want to watch them, like, flail.
Yeah.
So... But it's more dramatic to shut it down, so... Shut it down. So, Gordon has a second meeting with Melissa, and this time all three boys, while Francesca's cleaning the kitchen. Antonio is gonna learn how to manage, and V and V are gonna do social media shit. Like, Gordon's gonna train Antonio, he's gonna get Antonio trained, he's gonna have Melissa, like, sit down with Vincent and Vito and have them, like, do social media planning bullshit, whatever. Then Gordon's like, Melissa, I want to talk to the boys alone. Get out of here. And then Gordon puts back on dad voice. He does the full thing where he, like, stands up and, like, walks around the room and, like looks back at them, arms crossed, and goes, like, I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, he does the, like, the teacher that sits all the kids down after they misbehaved in an assembly.
Yeah. So he gives them a lecture, mostly to, it's not to Antonio. Antonio's just there. But he's telling Vincent and Vito, step the fuck up, or you're never allowed in this restaurant again, basically. And both of them just kind of look at their feet and go, yeah, okay, we'll help out, fine, yeah.
Okay, whatever. Dad, jeez.
Like, kicking rocks, like... So then Gordon takes Antonio and pizza assistant Tyler to a different restaurant to have a pizza masterclass with some guy named, like, Dan, I think.
The authentic Italian name, yeah.
Yeah, the guy. It was either Dan or Dave. Neither of those are Italian names.
David.
It's me, a Daniel. So they learn how to make pizzas the right way. Antonio has a grand time. Yay. Relaunch night is here.
Relaunch night is here, babes.
That's going to be the soundboard clip for that. It's just you saying that.
It's here, babes.
It's relaunch night. Relaunch night. Bam! 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 Gordon.
Sorry, just the way you said it. You were like, relaunch night is here.
Relaunch night? She's here. And she came to slay.
She came to slay the boots down, honey.
Welcome to the stage, relaunch night. My new drag name.
Relaunch night.
It's not even a pun. So... they redid the interior of the restaurant. It looks so much warmer and, like, homier in there. Like, it looks so much nicer.
Yes, sorry. Was I supposed to say something there?
I don't know. I was just volleying. I was just trying to have a conversation.
Just, like, held for applause.
I was saying the restaurant looks nice. And I was thinking you were going to jump in and be like, oh my god, yeah, the cutting board wall was really cool. And I like the way they redid the bar.
Well, the cutting board thing was right on the tip of my tongue, but I don't know. I'm sorry. Well, the cutting board wall looked really nice, and so did the bar.
Shut up!
I'm sorry!
Oh my god, we're so good at having a conversation.
I'm sorry!
Gordon introduces the new menu. It's a smaller menu with fresh ingredients. He says, this is a common theme. If you shorten the menu, you can have better quality ingredients without, like, having too much more cost because you're just doing less foods. So there's pizzas, which also pizza is a very low cost food to make. I've watched so many TV shows that have talked about how pizza is, like, such a low cost food to make, and the overhead on it is so good because you can sell it for $15 and it costs $3 to make a whole fucking pizza. Like,
yeah.
Pizza. Yeah, if you want big business, pizza.
Yeah. They really did hammer home, and it is true about how, for something like Italian food, fresh ingredients are really important. Because if you think about, like, a caprese salad that's just tomatoes and mozzarella and basil, like, you don't have to be a good chef to put that together for it to taste really good. But if you have shitty mozzarella, then you can't sell it because it sucks. So, yeah, that's the end of my thought. I thought it was going to be more.
No, but, like, it's true, though, because, like, Italian food is one of those things where it's so easy to make at home, and people in every family has, like, their own version of Italian food they make at home, because it's just pasta and sauce at the end of the day is what most of it is. So when you go to an Italian restaurant and you're paying $22 for an entree, you want it to be, like, 10 times better than what you can make from the 50-cent box of Barilla and the dollar jar of Alfredo you can get at the store, you know?
Yeah, and especially with pizza, where I think the only real culinary talent that I think would come from it is the dough, and that's just, mm-hmm. like, how long you put it in the oven. So if you have shit ingredients, it's just not worth doing, because you can't save it with, yeah.
If you're using canned pizza sauce with a, like, shitty dough and then bad mozzarella, then you have, like, Little Caesar's pizza, which is fine. But when you're going to an Italian restaurant, you don't want Little Caesar's pizza. You want Rome Caesar's pizza. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
And also, Italian food is so fucking good. So when you get bad Italian food, it's so disappointing.
It's so sad. It really is.
It's just
is.
So sad, because you're like, I was just really looking forward to, like, a good lasagna, and you made me a bad lasagna.
Yeah.
Like, Olive Garden can do a good lasagna. Your lasagna has to be better than Olive Garden lasagna, you know?
Yes.
I do love Olive Garden. It's so bad for you. It's so bad. It's such a bad restaurant.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for food that is, like, good for your heart and your pancreas, then Italian food isn't really the place to go, but, like, we get past it.
I had a great time in Italy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just, I've been talking about this with our friend Michael, where when all you eat, when the only foods that are available are, like, white bread and cheese, how do they do it? And it's that they smoke cigarettes. That's how they can eat only bread and cheese and stay skinny.
Yes. France.
Yes. Italy, too.
Italy, too. They also drink coffee, and caffeine is an appetite suppressant. So.
Yeah.
When you're drinking 3 shots of espresso every day and then smoking a pack of cigarettes, of course you're not hungry. Yeah. Anyways, there's pizzas, there's arancini, there's fresh mozzarella, there's tomatoes. Vinny's walking around doing some TikToks, which then they're like, the TikToks are going to help, like, bring in the community. And this was when I was like, no, the people are going to come because Gordon's there, and they just want to catch a glimpse of his blonde hair.
And there is, again, no trace of these TikToks. And it makes me think that maybe, like, they had to take them down for, like, NDA purposes, because there's no trace of that. The only evidence of any of them, of the three brothers being in that restaurant at all, is from, I think it was Antonio's girlfriend's account from, like, a year ago. She is the only one that has captured footage of them being in the restaurant that's on TikTok.
I did look at the restaurant's Instagram, and they have posted some. They had a viewing party for this episode on Monday, which was really cute.
Aw, good.
So they are posting on their Instagram pretty religiously, it seems, and the posts are pretty fun. And they Gordon comments that they only had 800 followers. They are up to 5,000 now, so good for them.
Yeah, that might have been on TikTok that he was talking about, because the two of them really only have presences on TikTok.
True.
And their TikTok presence is still nothing, the restaurant.
It takes a special TikTok person to make a good business TikTok account.
Yeah, and they have to be basically national brands, I think.
Yeah, it's like how the Wendy's Twitter account is always, like, super really fun.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be like that on TikTok. Like, the Duolingo Owl is funny on
TikTok.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say.
But that's, like, the only one I can think of that's, like, translated well. The Duolingo Owl is unhinged, and I love it.
I cannot believe, like, any CEO, like, signed off on that. Some of the stuff that Duolingo Owl does is bananas.
It was doing a lot of Jujutsu Kaisen shit recently for, like, the premiere of that anime. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know. I've soured on Duolingo a little bit because my Duolingo account got hacked a little while ago, and that's not like the fault of Duolingo necessarily, but it was very scarring. I watched it happen in real time where I like watched it happen in like a day where suddenly like I got the email saying like someone has logged into your account, and I was like, that's weird. Was it me? And then I went and looked at it, and then I got another email saying that my password was changed. And then I went back to it, and everything was in Vietnamese.
Why would they want your Duolingo account?
So they, I exchanged a lot of words with a Duolingo customer service rep. It was like a lot of heated emails because I was like, it was like in the span of like an hour, I sent 5 or 6 emails being like, hey, like I got an email saying my password was changed and it says that I need to contact you if I didn't change it. And then like a couple minutes later, everything is in a language that I don't know. I don't even know how to go back and change the language back to English to fix it because it's in a language I don't know and I don't know where anything is. To, oh my god, they bought like Duolingo Pro because there's like one where you buy for like lessons, and we had pretty much deduced like with my money, with my credit card.
Oh my god.
And they were trying to be like, oh, can you go back in and click on this menu? And I was like, I can't click on any menu. I don't know what anything means unless you can walk me through like what placement it is on the drop down menu. And I want to just delete the whole thing because this is very scarring. And we pretty much deduced that it was somebody like likely a teenager in Vietnam, and they were taking English classes and everyone needed to purchase this program in order for their English lessons because they had signed up for basically Vietnamese to English lesson, and all of my work in Spanish was deleted and all of that, and it was all overwritten. And after I got back in control of my account, I was calling the rep and I was like, can I just cancel the whole thing? And she was like, yeah, I get it.
That's insane. When did that happen?
Several months ago now, probably like January-ish.
That's crazy.
I remember because I was like, I think like speaking to Michael at the time it was happening, because it was all like within an hour. I was watching everything change, and Michael like opened his Duolingo to be like, okay, the place on the drop down menu to change the language is the third one down. And he like walked me through it verbally. So I could at least change. And then I like changed it back to English, and then they changed it back to Vietnamese, and we like battled it out for a little bit.
Oh my god.
It was crazy.
I've been getting an email every morning for the last couple days of somebody trying to change my Instacart password. And I'm like, stop.
Yeah, every so often on like my Microsoft OneDrive, it'll be like, someone requested to change your password. If it wasn't you, just ignore it. And I'll be like, okay, well, that's a kind of a big one. If that one gets hacked, maybe I should change my password on that one anyway. But like, it was like in a movie. But you know, like in movies, when someone like hacks into the mainframe?
Yeah, time to hack.
And yeah, exactly. And then it'll be like a skull that comes across the screen that's like, you've been hacked, deleting your hard drive in 3, 2. It was like that. I was like watching it happen in real time. Like, that doesn't happen for real. That's like not how viruses work, except that's how this one worked.
Because it was a person.
Because it was a person with thought.
Well, people are waiting too long for food. Back at this dinner service. And it's not Francesca's fault. This is when I got back on Francesca's side, because Gordon goes back there and is like, why isn't food coming out? What are you doing? And she was like, the food is ready. They're not coming to get it. So just the food runners were bad at their jobs.
Yeah, this also made me mad. I actually actively texted you here. Because, yeah, I mean, it was busy, so she was busy back there cooking the food. And Gordon came back there and was like, you need to take charge. You need to go out there and you need to tell them what you need. And I was like, no, they need to go back to the kitchen and run the food. She doesn't actually have time to walk out, hand the food to the servers in the dining room and say, hey, give this food to table 14. Like, she shouldn't actually have to do that. That is unfair. Hire more people if that's the problem.
Yeah, like you have like 3 or 4 waiters running around. What are they all doing?
It should be every front of house person's job. It should not be the head chef's job to run the food. That's crazy.
Well, then he goes to Antonio and tells Antonio to fix it, which makes a little more sense because Antonio is supposed to be the kitchen manager. Yeah. But also, Melissa should have been fixing this too. Like, because she was just wandering around talking to customers.
She was hosting, I think. And you can easily get a, you know, a local college person. You can get a high schooler to jump on the host stand. And you can run back and do all of that. I think Melissa might actually benefit from a little back of house training or a little bit of, you know, food running training, that sort of thing. Because she kept saying through the whole episode, I don't know how to do any of this. And that'd be a really great way to learn. But yeah, I think you're right that Antonio was the right person. Because also, like, when they're not making pizzas, he was, like, fucking around. You know, not fucking around, but, like, you make the pizza, you put it in the oven, you have to wait a certain amount of time to put it in the oven. You can prep other pizzas, but there's going to be a little bit of downtime when your whole job is baking stuff.
And not every table orders a pizza, you know?
Exactly, like, yeah.
The kids are ordering the pizzas. It seemed like everyone else was ordering, like, the chicken.
Yeah, especially if he has access to the dining room and he's looking around and he can get a visual on someone that's been waiting too long. I think, yeah, he can run back and run a little bit of food. That should be okay if he has downtime.
Yeah, it's like being a bartender where you kind of just have to be aware of everyone at all times and make sure that everyone is good. That's kind of your job as, like, a manager.
It really is. It absolutely is. Really what this place needs is a general manager. Like, don't let the child do it. Or if you're going to have the child be the general manager, get someone else on pizzas. Like, they need a slight more division of labor than what they currently have.
Well, I mean, if Antonio's going to be the kitchen manager, they can still have a general manager that's above Antonio. That's what they need.
Yeah, they need a back-of-house guy and a front-of-house guy. They really need both.
Because Melissa is, like, a fine host, but it doesn't seem like she's, like, particularly well-equipped to like, front-of-house managerial shit anyways, though.
Especially because, like, my assumption is Melissa is also doing, like, payroll and HR and all of that stuff, like the business side. So she doesn't need to do any more, really, if she wants to do that. It's like, they need, like, two more people on staff. Just that much. And I think that they would see a big difference.
Yeah, hopefully they've hired somebody or they have better systems. They're still open. I was Googling it before we got on. So they are still open. They are doing pretty well, it seems. I didn't read any reviews, but it seemed like they had over 4 stars on Google, so I think they're doing okay.
That's rad. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was looking at their Instagram. They had a watch party Monday night for the premiere of this episode, which was really cute, I think.
Amazing.
And, you know, I hope Vincent and Vito are helping out in a more productive way, at least.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're just like bussers too, you know,
they should just or be food runners. Tables.
Yeah, they should be food runners.
They should be food runners. They need food runners, clearly. But yeah, that was the end of the episode. And then that's all she wrote. Happy New Jersey, everyone.
This might be my favorite episode so far.
This definitely was the episode that had the most kitchen nightmare shit in it that I love. Like,
but what sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, Gordon getting in the fridges, Gordon yelling at teenage boys.
And it was also nice because, yeah, we got all of that. It's always nice to have a villain, which in this case was Vincent Squared. But there was also genuinely, like, it seemed like everybody there wanted the best. You know, there weren't any Chef Bobbies. It was nice that everyone went in knowing what the fucking deal was. And no one was like, no, actually, our food is amazing. You know, everyone was kind of on the same page about the state of it. And that was nice.
Yeah, because Melissa fully admitted from the top, like, I don't fucking know what I'm doing. We've only been
open
6 months.
And that was so nice. That was so nice.
Yeah. And to only be open for 6 months and to already need Gordon's help, like, clearly they know that they're doing everything wrong. So
yeah, and instead of what's her bucket from last week, I can't remember, it was George's wife who was like, yeah, I'm the owner, but I don't know, he doesn't tell me anything, you know. It was nice to have someone that took a little responsibility.
Yeah, and then George is running around going, the food is fine, I don't know why you're mad.
Yeah, and Francesca, who, even though she fucked up a lot, at her core she was competent. That was nice.
Yeah. She knows how to cook, and she knows how to run a kitchen, and that's what they need. And she seems very, like, level-headed, at the very least. Like, she didn't seem like she was gonna just, like, explode on somebody.
Yeah.
I commend her for her work in this line of duty.
Same.
Well, any final thoughts on DeMimo? of the Mimo.
Of the Mimo.
Is that like Taco Del Mar? Taco of the Mar?
Well, that's Taco of the Sea. I know.
I know.
So,
Del Taco of the Taco.
Of Taco. It's like Handmaid's Tale of Fred. Of Taco. No, I wish Vincent Squared well on their social media careers. I hope they make money someday.
Yeah, you gotta do brain deals. And you gotta not do shitty prank videos with your girlfriends.
Yeah, they straight up don't have presences without their girlfriends. So as soon as they break up, then bummer.
Over. That's what happened to Prank versus Prank. Learn from history, kids.
I, like, hate pranks. I hate prank channels.
I hate prank channels. They're so stupid. And they always go too far. And then somebody cries. Yeah. And then there's, like, an apology video. And then I'm like, I don't care. Why did we do it in the first place? For views?
Exactly.
You're stupid.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Ramsey's Recaps. I tried it again, and it still didn't work.
Ramsey's Recaps.
Ramsey's Recaps.
It's Ramsey's Recaps.
Next week, we're going to have to change things up a little bit.
I'm sorry, it's my fault again, as per usual.
Alana's going to Disneyland for like the 100th time this year because she's allowed, I guess.
I'm sorry. Look, it's my sister's birthday. It's what she wants to do. We're taking a family trip. We're staying for a couple of days. And it's just right when we need to record this. So, sorry. We either push it a day late or I record the podcast actively on Space Mountain, which I considered.
Which could be fun. Could be fun.
The ambient noise would be a lot.
You're just like in the middle of the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
You would not catch me dead on that ride. Oh my god. That ride makes my stomach come out my brain. It makes my stomach fall out of my ears.
Here's how old I am now. The last time I went to Disneyland was when I was 17, and it was still the Hollywood Tower of Terror. And I went on the Tower of Terror because there were rumors at the time that they were going to change it into something else. I don't think they had said Guardians yet, because I don't think that was a thing yet.
Yeah.
But there were rumors that they were going to change the Tower of Terror at some point. And so I was like, I should be brave and go on it because I fucking love the Twilight Zone. And I want to know what it's like inside. I don't remember a single thing from that ride. I blacked out. I don't remember getting on it. I don't remember getting off of it. I remember waking up, sitting on the steps outside of the ride in the gift shop.
Yeah, I went on it. I finally went on it. And yeah, now it's Guardians of the Galaxy themed. But I went on it with a friend like a couple months ago. I was like, I went on it a long time ago and I didn't like it. But, you know, I'm an adult now. Maybe I should just try it. And I instinctually clutched him. I dug my nails into his skin without even thinking.
I do remember getting on the ride and sitting down and going, why isn't there a shoulder harness? Why is it just a lap belt? Why isn't there anything to cover the rest of me?
You're airborne. It's enough to keep you in, but you are off the chair when you're going down.
Your butt goes off the seat, and all they had was a lap belt and a little piece of metal to hang on to. And I was like, I'm going to die today.
Yeah.
Apparently, I cussed out my father. I don't recall that, though.
Amazing. So, yeah, that's not where I'll be recording the podcast from. Certainly not.
Should be on the Buzz Lightyear ride.
I would love to do it on the Buzz Lightyear ride.
That's my favorite ride. So yeah, next week, the episode will come out on Thursday instead of Wednesday, but you'll still get a full recap of Ramsey next week.
Never worry. Never fear, children.
The week after that is Halloween, and also my birthday. But as of right now, we're still planning on having it released on Wednesday, my birthday, so you have to listen to it. You're obligated to listen to it, because it's my fucking birthday, November 1st. So, as of right now,
we'll bring cupcakes or something.
Yeah, as of right now, that's still the same. We'll let you know if it changes. Any other housekeeping things?
No. Follow us on Instagram at Ramsey's Recaps.
Follow Alana on Instagram at Alana Fine Woman, and on TikTok at Alana Fine Woman.
And on YouTube at Alana Fine Woman, and on Twitch at Alana Fine Woman.
And then follow me on Instagram at Courtney Sile. You can also follow me on Twitter, the artist formerly known as Twitter, but I don't really post on there. I just kind of retweet shit posts, so.
I've been trying not to go on there out of principle, but Instagram Threads is just not, like, keeping up in the same way.
It doesn't scratch the same itch, for sure, because I've carefully curated my Twitter to be very meme-filled, and but lately, because of, I'm gonna say, Elise Eldridge of TH Glee, my Twitter feed is just fucking Taylor Swift updates now, and I'm over it.
No, it's the best. That's what you want it to be.
It's Taylor Swift updates and Glee memes. That's all my Twitter is now.
Amazing.
Also, if you want to listen to TH Glee, I just watched the first episode of season 6, so that episode will be out in a few weeks, and you can listen to my horror. Listen to TH Glee. Alright, thanks everyone for listening to another rousing episode of Ramsey's Recaps. See you next week.
As they always are.
As they always are. We will see you next week on Thursday.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
Bye!